glory to God. Hallelujah. I had this on my heart, and so I just want to rehearse some scriptures concerning fire. So we're going to take an abrupt turn right now. Hallelujah. But you know, the fire of God, it doesn't always have to be wild. I've sensed the fire of God in my life and on my physical body where I couldn't even move before. I'm so grateful that I found out the reality of Jesus, the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. So I just want to rehearse some scriptures and then see what the Lord wants to do. But this was on my heart, and so this is what I want to do. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Probably most of you are going to know these scriptures, but I want you to think about them, and I want you to see, starting with this, I want you to see this is what Jesus wants in the last day's church. This is what Jesus wants in the last day's church. He's coming back for what kind of church? A glorious church. A glorious church. What's a glorious church? It's a church with the glory of God on it. And part of that is the fire of God. I love, especially during saturation meetings, to preach on what I call the elements of God. The wind, the rain, and the fire. Work in the last day's church, because there's no way that God is taking a church out of here that is weaker, is less bright, is less on fire, where there's less things going on. And if you look at the early church, there was where the fire of God started, and because of the fire of God, things went crazy in a good way on the earth. Amen? And so it started with Jesus walking by John the Baptist one day, and he said to the people in Matthew 3:11, and you know this scripture, but he said, "I indeed baptize you with water under repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Next Sunday, we're going to do a water baptism. The word baptism is baptismo, and it means full immersion. And so we're going to fully immerse. In other words, I've had people try to go halfway under, but I don't let them. I put them all the way under. There's no just get your shoulders wet with me. It's full immersion, because we got to do it the Bible way. You got to do it the word. So what the word baptismo means, to fully immerse. That's what it means. And in the same way, Jesus has come to fully immerse you with the fire of God. Reach one hand up to heaven and say, "Jesus, immerse me, baptize me with the Holy Ghost and fire." What do you want? Fire. Say fire. Holy Ghost fire, right? See, a lot of people are worried about getting tongues. Quit worrying about tongues and concentrate on the fire. The tongues are just an evidence. They're just an evidence. And there's a lot of benefits to them. But so many times in our circles, everybody is concentrating on speaking in tongues that they forget the fire. He said he would baptize you in the Holy Ghost in tongues. That's not what he said. He said he would baptize you in the Holy Ghost in fire. The tongues are just the evidence of the fire. Come on, do you want some fire? Do you need some fire? Come on, what does the fire do? Well, it burns bright. Amen? Does the Lord want us in the last day's church to be on fire? He said this about himself. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, I believe it's verse 24, he said, "Our God is a consuming fire." Hebrews 12:29 says, "Our God is a consuming fire." The coffee house, you didn't know it. It's called 12:29. It's not what time it is. It's time for coffee at 12:29. That's not what it is. Nobody understands what it is anymore, because it started in the youth group and we just carried it over, because the youth group is called a blaze. And so in order to have a blaze, you got to have a coffee shop that's on fire. And so it was called 12:29. Our God is a consuming fire, because we're not doing Java lava, Java, I don't know whatever they all do. We're not messing with his name. Jehovah Java, is that? No, we're not. We don't do that here. We don't mess with that. But 12:29, I remember when they were putting it up out there, one of Danny's guys, they were putting it up. They're like, 12:29. He's like, "Is that what time you get out?" I'm like, "No, it's a scripture. Our God is a consuming fire." God is love, but he is a consuming fire. Consuming. In other words, when you get around him, you're consumed by who he is, and he's fire. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at this. Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Just want to remind you of some things, and let's be in expectation. Ezekiel 1, 26 and 28. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, and the appearance of sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of man above it. And I saw a color of amber, as the appearance of fire around about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that was in the cloud of the day of the rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Jesus is a fire from the waist up and a fire from the waist down. Our God is a consuming fire. And he wants that in our minds and in our hearts, because he's wanting to do something with the fire. He's wanting you and I. There's a reason that John the Baptist said that Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. It is one of the elements of God. We know on Acts chapter 2, verse 4, that suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. And cloven tongues of fire did what? Sat on each of them. We need some Holy Ghost sitting. You need the Holy Ghost to come sit on you. I always do this. Let's see, who do I want to pick on? I could do Kelvin. It would make the most effect. But I'm not. Chad? I haven't seen Chad forever. Hallelujah. And so I weigh 190 pounds. Ted, that's not funny. Ish. And I were to put all of my weight, you know, we really forgot to do this today. He welcomed his dad and his brothers and everything. And then all the way from Seoul, I mean, he came the furthest. From Seoul, Korea, and he brought this friend of his, this lovely, lovely lady, Ashita. I did it good. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit on him. Okay. Now, when I sit on him, and if I sit here long enough, he's going to want to change his position. He's going to want to change because I'm heavy. One of the words for glory is heavy. And the thing about the church, the reason that people aren't getting changed so much is because we run them through a religious process, but we don't run them through the fire anymore. Come on, do you have the fire of God? Do you want the fire of God? And it's a never-ending supply. But you see, if I let God, you're going to be all right. If you let God, come on, pray again. Lord, send Pastor Mark to sit on me. No. Come, Holy Ghost, say it. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Come sit on me. And how many know he can sit on you anywhere? Amen. His presence coming on you and his fire coming on you can change you. That would have been a really good like picture for advertisement, me sitting on Chad. Hallelujah. No. Sometimes when the Holy Ghost comes and sits on you, I mean, it doesn't always have to be this demonstrative thing. People respond different to the presence of God. Some people are loud, like me, boisterous, run around. Are you a sit? What I mean by sit, you know, like fajitas, they just sit and they sizzle. But, you know, a lot of times people get caught up in the response or the emotion. And different people have different emotions and different responses. It's like you could give someone a gift and you can give the exact same gift to the same people and they want it equally. One will jump up and down and be excited and the other will say, thank you very much. It doesn't mean the one who just says, thank you very much, is not excited about it. That's just their way of responding. And so don't get caught up in the response. Get caught up in what God is doing when he comes and sits on you like cloven tongues of fire. Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. Jesus is in this room to not only, see, and it's not just the initial time, it's an ongoing, because Jesus, as always, he, our God, is a consuming fire. And so the more we get in his presence, the more we're in the presence of God, and the more he's in the room to do that, you have to open up, because this is the deal. You can sit in the same room, go through the same prayer line, and one person is forever changed. The other person's like, well, that wasn't really too much. You've got to use your faith. You've got to invite him. You've got to open up your life to receive from him, because he is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost. He wants to fully immerse you in the fire of God. The only reason you don't have the fire of God, or some, not you all, you all have it, but the only reason that someone doesn't have the fire of God is because they don't want it. It's available for everybody. It's available for everybody because Jesus is he the Savior? And then he's also the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire, and fire. Lord, baptize me fresh and anew in the Holy Ghost and fire. Lord, baptize me anew in the Holy Ghost and fire. Ooh, ha ha. Lord, baptize me full and again and again in the Holy Ghost and fire. I am full of the fire of God. My God is a consuming fire. My God is, baptize me. I'm going to have my own church right up here. Just baptize me afresh and anew in the Holy Ghost and fire. My God is a consuming fire. I believe, I worship you, Jesus, as the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. And when he comes and sits on me like he did in those in the upper room, then I'm suddenly changed. I'm suddenly rearranged. I was a little like Peter, who couldn't talk to a little girl. I was like Peter, I didn't know him. But then when I got baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, I'm ready to talk to some people. Because that's what happened to Peter. He denied Jesus three times. Jesus restored him three times. And then he went to the upper room. His restoration was not enough for him to be the preacher that he was called to be. Your restoration is not enough for you to be the man or woman of God that God has called you to be. You got to go through the upper room. If the Holy Ghost and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the fire of God is available, then you need to go to your own upper room. You don't have to go to an upper room. We don't have to rent anything with two stories. But I'm telling you that God wants you to have all that he is. And Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. Say it again. Say, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Sit on me. Sit on me. Hallelujah. Revelations 1, 14 to 15. His head on his hairs were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes were as flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, and they burned in the furnace, and his voice the sound of many waters. So that's who Jesus is. He's an all-consuming fire. Why do we need, you know, we've been talking about Hebrews 12, 29. I want to look at Hebrews 12, 28. Wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And there's a colon there. So that means it goes together. For our God is a consuming fire. Reverence. You know, you all do a really good job with reverence. My guest speakers talk about it. They talk about how willing you all are that no matter what's going on, if it's time to worship, you're worshiping. If it's time to take notes, you're taking notes. If it's time to pray, time to praise, you're all in. What is that? That's really reverence. A lot of people think reverence is quiet, but you can be irreverent while everybody's running around the room and you got your arms folded or sitting on your seat and not willing to participate. That's irreverent. If you want to be reverent, what are you doing? Whatever God's doing, that's what I'm doing. Well, Pastor Mark, I'm not comfortable doing that. Well, but at least, I promise not to push you in, but at least put your big toe in the water. I mean, you're here, you're telling me that you love God and you want something from God. At least put your big toe in the water. That's why I tell people when everybody's jumping, at least get up, even if you can't jump. My jumping days are not as good as they used to be, but I can still get up on the balls of my feet. I mean, I can still jump. And some of you may not want to jump. It's okay, but at least do something. Move a little bit. I mean, you know, when the praise and worship singers, because every once in a while they get their act together, they're really swaying together. Hallelujah. They're really moving together. I like that. I like it. I like it. And one of the things I love about our church is we're clapping on every beat here. We got them all covered. We got the 2 and the 4 and the 1 and the 3. And sometimes we got the 1, 2, 3, 4. We got them all covered here. So you'll just fit in. Just do something. Just do something. I remember one time we had a guest minister. He said, "This is the swayingest church I've ever seen." I said, "That's pretty good. I love to sway. I have a sway when I sing. I sway." But what my point is that whatever God is doing in the room, then reverence does that. And the more if you want to be more reverent, do what God's doing. Do what God's doing. If it's time for notes, take notes. If it's time to shout, if it's time to holler, even if that's not your comfort zone. Because I remember, I'm just like some of you, I remember this little Methodist boy, when I first came into this around here, and these people were raising their hands, and I was like, what in the world? Do you need called on? Do you need to go to the bathroom? What are you doing? And so then I got around and I saw they were worshiping God because there wasn't a lot of teaching, but there was just a lot of doing. And so I started like many of you. I started down here. My hands open, worshiping God down here. You know, then you graduate. And then, you know. Or the little one, some people start here with one little one-hand slip up. Just start. It's really freeing when you can really lift your hands and worship the Lord. Why do we do that? The Bible says lifting holy hands. Worship, adoration to him, lifting holy hands. But see, whatever God's doing, if you'll do that, then you'll begin to cooperate. Why am I telling you this? You'll begin to cooperate with the fire. You have to start by learning how to cooperate with the fire. Cooperate with the Holy Ghost. So whatever he's doing, I'm reverencing him. I'm honoring him, whatever he's doing in the room. And so you ought to be able to look around, even if this is new to you, and trust somebody. If 60% of everybody in the room is lifting their hands, you're like, oh, this is lift your hands time. Well, I don't feel anything. Don't make me do it. Well, but if you'll just, by an act of your will, begin to participate, then you'll begin to cooperate. By an act of your will, you'll begin to participate, then you'll begin to cooperate. And as you cooperate, then God is able to give you more. You say, well, I feel uncomfortable in a big setting like this. I feel like everybody's watching you. Let's go back to this morning. Nobody's really watching you that much. Oh, yes, they are, Pastor Mark. Yes, they are. Well, that means you're watching everybody else watch you. I was looking back to see if you was looking back to see. If I was looking back to see, you were looking back at me. Just quit looking. Just worship him. Honor him. Just be in the moment with him. Respond to him. And then in doing that, you're going to respond to the fire. Because, see, the fire is falling, and yet not everybody gets to be a part of that. And you're here, and so I want you to respond. So the way that you respond to the fire is by reverencing the Lord, because our God is a consuming fire, and it talks about reverencing the Lord. So why is this fire so important? Well, one of the things the fire does is found in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 2. And he shall sit as a refiner's fire and a purifier of silver. And it shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Next verse. No, that's not what I want. That's good enough. That's the verse I wanted. He's a refiner's fire, a purifier. So the fire of God on your life, I have just found that the more on fire I am, the less my flesh talks back to me. The more full I am of God, the less my flesh can do what it wants to do. I remember even back early when I didn't know much, after I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I experienced the fire of God, and the anointing of God changed my life, and I began to pray in tongues more than y'all. And then I immediately began to read the word, and I was so excited to find out, you know, I got excited when I read the Gospels, and I saw the stories were repeated, the accounts were repeated, and I'd never seen that before, and I was like, oh, this must be important. It's in Matthew and Mark and Luke. This must be really important. But see, I'd never seen that before. And then as I prayed in the Holy Spirit and read the word, I just remember that everything was just easier. The fire of God on my life just made my life easier. And I was delivered and I was changed and I was set apart and I loved Jesus and everything was easier. But then as I began to do this a while, I said, I began to do this a while, and then I became a minister, and I got busy, I taught ministers all over the world, you know, don't get too busy for Jesus, and I teach them that, and I teach them that, and I command them that, and then yet I can do it myself, and yet then I find that's when I want to be, when I'm not full of the fire, that's when I want to be grouchy. I know all my staff and my wife will tell you I am just one of the most pleasant people on the planet unless I've not been with Jesus. Then the manager inside of me who barks orders shows up. Well, he still shows up sometimes anyway. But my point is, and I'm going somewhere, the refiner's fire on you will get rid of your flesh. It burns up the chaff. I said it burns up the chaff. It really does. So let's go back there to Matthew 3. A lot of people only look at verse 11. I'm doing this on purpose because the Lord told me to, and so I'm expecting some things. So verse 12, he shall baptize you with the Holy, 11, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost of fire. Again, there's a colon there, or a semicolon, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And a lot of people think, well, is he talking about people? No, he's talking about burning up the chaff on your life. What is chaff? It's the thing around the wheat that's no good. And so he begins to burn it up. So I double dog dare you to lift one hand to heaven and say, Holy Ghost, burn up the chaff in my life. Oh, he's going to answer that one. He answers them all. How many know we could do? What does the fire do? It helps us in every area. Are y'all grateful for the power part of this? Y'all know Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. And you shall receive dunamis after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be a witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we talk a lot about this one, so you know a lot about this one, the power. And that's one of the things you get, definitely, is power. But there's a reverence that's necessary in the church. There's the burning of the chaff that's necessary in the church. Their power is still necessary. And then I want to take this to an overall place, and then I'm just going to pray, just real simple, just believe God, that the fire of God is available tonight for everyone. And you say, well, I've already been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, thank God there's just not one. Ephesians says to be being filled. And y'all know that. And that's why we come to saturation meetings. Why do we do this once a month? Because we need to just come into a service where we can take our time and just see what the Spirit of God wants to do. We obey him on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, but this one we just have a little extra time. And the whole purpose of a saturation meeting is to get saturated. He's already shown up. We've already ministered to people. And we could have went home and have a wonderful time and say, that was awesome. The worship was great. God moved. But I really felt like we needed to get to this because the Word of God is what we put our faith on. And the Word of God, God had a word for you tonight about his fire. And I believe that he wants you to experience that in a higher level. No matter how much fire you have in your life, he wants to take it up a notch. And you can start with me, Lord. I'm ready to go up a notch. Amen. Are you ready to go up? Is our God a consuming fire? Is he here in this room? Is he on the inside of you? See, he talked about how do you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost? One of the ways is through the laying on of hands. That's how many of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. And so they got the Holy Ghost and fire. And then they did speak in other tongues, but they got the fire of God when hands were laid upon them. So you can have hands laid on you to get filled with the Holy Ghost, and you can get hands laid on you to get refilled or blessed. Amen. And so this last one, though, I'm always reminded of the children of Israel being backslidden. And if our country is not in a backslidden condition, it's getting real close. But you and I are not backslidden. And we're still here. And I believe if Abraham wouldn't have stopped, he said, if he would have said, God, would you spare it so Lot does not have to move back in with me? I believe God would have spared it. I believe he would have. Because God, he said, well, you know, he's talking about, can you find 50 righteous? Can you find 45 righteous? Can you find 40 righteous? 30, 20, 10. But there's more than 10 righteous in this room. And so instead of judgment, which I know a lot of people really just demand that God do to the United States, I believe instead of judgment, we can have revival. To revive. I believe a visitation. While we were away praying, one of the things he spoke to us was about an outpouring, especially in the area of worship. There's praise is good, but there's something coming about some worship songs. We're getting a hold of somebody, maybe even some from our midst, worship songs, worship to the Lord. That there's just something about that right now where he's going to just show himself strong in. Amen. So spend some extra time worshiping the Lord. And when we get into worship, just join in and be in expectation. But remember when the children of Israel were backslidden. And Elijah went to them by the order of the Lord. And remember, he said this. He said, the God that answers by fire, then he's God. And that's the one we're going to serve. And he got them all to agree. And remember, it was time during a drought. It looked really bad. And the Bible talks about how he called the Baal worshipers, the priests of the Baal worshipers. And he said, you call on your God, and I'll call on my God. Because the children of Israel were backslidden. They were worshiping Baal. And it was during the middle of the drought. And so they had this offering. And they offered it up to their God and to Jehovah God. And the God that answers by fire, he's God. And so that's my prayer today, the God that answers by fire. Come on, Father God, I want you to answer by fire once again. I want you to answer by, Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. What this backslidden place needs, the land needs as a whole, it needs the, God to come and respond in fire. And it's gonna come, I believe it's gonna come. If the early church started in fire, the latter church, the last days church, the glorious church, we're gonna have some fire about us. We are, because our God is a consuming fire. He started the church that way, and he's going to take us away that way. I believe that. I see that. I believe that from the word. And so, you know the account. So he got 12 barrels of water, and he began to douse the because they were known for their trickery. Because everything they did was by trickery, the Baal worshipers. And so he took 12 barrels of water during a drought. He was so confident because God told him to do this that God was going to answer by fire. He doused the offering in water. And then remember, they began to call on their God. And they even, the Bible says they even cut themselves. And then I know, you know, for me, I don't know, there's just an ornery side to me sometimes. I love the prophet Elijah. I love what he did, because when Baal would not answer them, this supposed Baal, which is really a demon, did not answer them, he said, "Is your God on vacation? Has he taken a far journey? Perhaps he's asleep." Sticking it. I mean, we should never do that. Well, he did it. That's like, well, I like Paul and the ship. You should have hearkened unto me. Tells you maybe a little bit more about me than you need to know. But listen, God answered by fire. And this is what happened, and I believe this is what can happen today. They all got on their face. And they repented. And they said, Jehovah God, he is God. What? The God that answers by fire. He's God. That's why Jesus is a consuming fire. He answers by fire. And don't leave that part out. Well, Pastor, I don't think we just need to be emotional. I'm not talking about being emotional. I told you, it doesn't really matter how you respond. It'll, you know, the fire of God, the presence of God will maybe make you respond in a different way. You need to respond, but respond in your way. Whether you sit and sizzle, whether you get hands laid on you here and you go home and sizzle, whether you have an outburst and you run around the room, I just don't really care. I just want you to, by faith, receive the fire of God. And while you're doing it, understand that where it's coming from. It's coming from Jesus, not me. I lay hands on people, but Jesus is the baptizer, the one who fully immerses. So I want you to come just a little different. I want you to come like, how many of you have ever been water baptized here? Who's been water baptized here? So you come down the steps and you get into the very, Dion, it's very warm. It's very warm water. It's gonna be cooler tomorrow. Not cold though. Where's Dion? There you go. Okay. Cooler, not hot, not a sauna. And so we walk down into it. Because see, they all get to get in and get out. I got to sit there. I got to stand there. But my point is, I don't want to lose y'all. Listen. So they come in. They on purpose get into the water. And then I on purpose say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in Jesus' name and put them under. And then they on purpose come, because we got to get them back up. So sometimes they try. I told everybody, I've never lost anybody. A couple times ago, I about lost someone because they were trying to help me. They were disturbed of the water. They didn't want to be in the water, and they were fight. There's a way. I don't know how it works. It just works. But they were trying to help me, and I almost lost them. See, you don't have to produce the fire. You don't have to help. You don't have to be on fire. You just come in faith. You walk into the water. You walk into the presence. Jesus is the baptizer. You let him fully immerse you, and then he'll pick you back up and send you on your way full of the fire of God. But you got to come with the expectation. So when we lay hands on you tonight, I want you to kind of see yourself walking into his presence. Maybe even forget you're here. Jesus, we may be laying hands on you, but Jesus is the one baptizing you. And whether you're baptized with the Holy Ghost and you speak with other tongues, okay. Or if you've never done that before, then you can tonight. But I want you to be more concerned with, or aware is a better word, of receiving the fire. I just simply gave you some scripture. Didn't preach to you, just gave you some scripture. But the word's enough. I said the word's enough. Now mix faith with it and come get the fire.